League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos? Welcome in. It's the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Chris Welch, Scott Bogman. It's us in this league. It's rank time. We're talking middle infielders, second base, and shortstop. We're pairing them together because baseball doesn't do us any favors as far as like dropping rank episodes to fit in a week, unless we are going to Sunday. Football is nice and uniformed. Baseball is not. There's really no other way we can do it outside of pairing some together. But you know what? Lots of second basemen and shortstops are ranking together. We'll be going through our 30, talking about some of our players, strategy, all that fun, exciting stuff as we continue on Hell Week, an episode every freaking day of the week, Mr. Scott Bogman, Mr. Healthy Scott Bogman.
So much fun. I am so happy to be back and speaking into a microphone and not sleeping and sleeping and sleeping and sweating and sleeping. That was not so much fun, but we're back. We're talking some baseball and I'm ready for it.
That's right. We got pitchers and catchers. I mean, I guess we kind of did this a little bit yesterday, but we're in the week coming into it. Looks like by the end of the week, just throwing this out there, some rumors floating, a Bregman signing might happen by the end of the week. Some rumors are going out. A lot of Cubs stuff, which would be pretty trippy. Still haven't heard much on the Pete Alonso side, so hopeful that it's going to happen. But we will be covering it all, and hopefully they line up to all of our stuff here. I mean, the Jack Flaherty signing is perfect before we've gotten to starting pitcher rank. So,
well, Alonso didn't make it.
And Bregman didn't make it, so I guess screw them. So we didn't even get it, but you know, that's how it goes. You guys want to check out the ranks and all the other stuff, inthisleague.com. That is the Patreon. Inthisleague.com is where you guys can come and hang out. Check out, I got Prospect Dynasty. We both got our redraft ranks up there. I've got updates coming before I fly out to Las Vegas, to Viva Las Vegas next week. I'll have everything updated. Plus, you can check out the community, join mocks with us, have access to us. You can message us in the GroupMe rooms and even on Patreon as well. And just know you are wonderful human beings supporting In This League, Bogman of the Welsh, and we very, very much appreciate it. So much so that if, let's say, 50 to 100 more people sign up in the next couple of days, I could blow it all in Vegas if you'd like.
Ah,
you think that would be good? A good moral thing to do? I could just
put it. I mean, who cares about morality? You're in Vegas. It's Sin City for
it
a
is
reason,
not
maybe.
The place for morality. I was thinking
are you going to go do prayer group in Vegas? What are you thinking?
I mean, you know, as long as we can bet,
they do have more churches because when people are down in their luck, they need it. So you know,
you get married.
Let's just take it all and put it on black.
I was explaining roulette to my wife today. She like didn't understand. I was like, do you remember the craziest gambling story of my life? Well, I have two, but this one was the first time we'd ever gone to Vegas. Girls are upstairs in the hotel. I walk down with a friend. My birthday is the 22nd. I don't know why I picked black 22. I am not joking you. This guy can attest to it. It hit black 22. I've told this story before. The dealer has never looked so dejected in his life because it was that total.
Why,
like,
don't you tip him? Why wouldn't he be excited?
I didn't bet a lot, you know. It was like $10 or something like that, like, and it was one of those like it's clear first timers type of thing. Like, he wasn't like a dick about it, but he was just like, first timer luck, here you go.
I
nailed it.
You,
on there.
I hate the rules in Vegas and the people watching you and judging you.
Because you want to hit 12s on sixes and stuff. Like, you don't want to do
I just don't care about, I don't want to, I don't give an S about the rules.
But blackjack is the only one with like rules. You can do whatever you want on the other games.
People are dicks. I don't like it.
I mean, you affect other people in blackjack. That's the problem. Blackjack is a tricky, speaking very tricky of dicks, game.
Here's one right here hosting with me.
Well, I gambled for like quite a long time in my early career of not having a career and being a degenerate.
This is why I stuck to the offshores at that point when everything was not so, you know, legal.
I never liked having the in seat, you know, because then you're making that final decision where it's like, you know, don't hit, you know, like that type of stuff is brutal. But I don't know. You know, we do. Oh, just putting this out here. We didn't get to do our final kind of two streams because Bogman was sick and we had another thing going on. We got the Super Bowl coming up this week. Might try to line in a live stream on our Patreon before the Super Bowl. We could talk about Super Bowl, but maybe I need to do like a 4-hour, like, let's build a Vegas bankroll live stream where I just, you know, punish the wheel and stuff like that. And we just set it all to like a night poker tournament I'll do in Vegas when I'm out there. Or like you said, put all that sucker on black. We'll just line it all up in Vegas. I'll live video it and we'll put it all on black. You got to do it on black, right?
I think so. Always
commies black, do right? Red and we're going to do black. It's America, man. I'm not doing red. But yes, that is, I got gambling on my mind. So that's out there. Not enough of a stipend to have my company to justify gambling. That'll justify the food. So I got to find the gambling money somewhere. And that's what I'll be doing. You can also, you know, do it in NFBC and a lot of other fun ways. Hopefully we can help you out in your strategy for middle infielders today. So second shortstop, talk about some of our favorite strategy-based things, where the numerical ranks are. And as we've done before, this will just be a good conversation for us to kind of pick and choose at players maybe we really like or don't like. We're not going to get to every single one of them. But guess what? There's plenty of time you guys can hit us up on any player that maybe we didn't get to that you're like, boys, why are you not talking about Andrés Giménez? Meh. I want to talk about Andrés Giménez. I drafted him today on the Fantasy Pros mock, but I don't want to talk about him. We want to talk about some of the other guys and the strategy. So let's do it. We'll do it right here on the other side, starting with the second base ranks right here and in this league.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
Second base ranks. Let's take a look. We're going to get into our top 30, which you can find over at InThisLeague.com on Patreon. Also listed on Fantasy Pros. Both of our ranks are up there, though. Look, we just did a mock. I don't recall. Did you like your own draft, Bogman? Did you like or dislike? I didn't see a Bogman on there.
No, you know what? I didn't even... mine didn't come up. It came up for you, I think, but it didn't come up on mine. So
I'm going to have to check into that. I want to see who Bogman likes and dislikes, but you can do that as a part of all your drafting over there. We're going to be looking at the top 30, kind of going in those blocks of 10, picking out some of our favorites, looking at the strategies, looking at the depth. And if we just start like blanketly here, it's pretty rinse and repeat. It feels like from years prior that we all always kind of say the same thing about second base. And it's not crazy deep, though. I will say, in what has felt in previous years where you're like, all right, I got 8 for second baseman. And then, oh my God, it's a Grand Canyon drop off. I'm really not sure that it's like that. It's more gradual steps. You know, like Marcus Semien isn't as good as he was in the past. You got the Cattells. I think in this one, because we're using the Yahoo ranks, it's another thing to mention. So we're using very loose eligibility. Mookie Betts is going to qualify and he'll be like the number one second baseman. But instead of these big giant Goliath changes, it's just gradual steps from Cattell, you know, down a couple spots to Semien, down to like the Jordan Westbergs who qualify. And then this big glut of these Luis Garcias to Giménez's to, you know, even like Luis Rengifo.
Yeah.
I do think the position goes 20-ish deep, but it's not as robust as some other positions, but it's not as a pile of garbage as it was in prior years.
I'll say this. After ranking, I feel better about second base than I did pre-ranking.
So your perception beforehand was kind of like, this is going to be another dirt pile.
I still but don't once like the top. I'll be honest. I don't like the top. I think there's like 6 or 7. Then the middle is fairly the same. You know what I mean? There's upside guys. There's floor guys, whatever. The back end, I feel a little better about than I did before. But the top is still fairly thin, unless you have weird, you know, Mookie Betts qualifies and stuff like that. So, you know, I feel a little bit better about that, but the middle is still pretty normal for second base.
Well, we'll get through some of these guys before we get into the top 30 of them, outside of the top 30. So
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At the edge, then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
If we do this relative to NFBC, the 30th second baseman is actually ironic because that's a guy I'm going to mention here. I've got him like one or two spots lower, but he is equivalent to rank 435. So if you want to go inside the top 300, there's about 26 second qualified second basemen that would be inside the top 300. But then there's kind of this big, deep change that happens because it's like 298 is the 26th second baseman, but the 30th second baseman is 435. So yeah, like there's a big gap that's in there. The one I would probably throw out real quick here is Thairo Estrada is kind of interesting. Going to Colorado makes and kind of changes everything, the scope of, like, you know, the excitement, and it's kind of fallen off a little bit with Thairo Estrada because it was like, oh my God, this could be 2020. He's going to be this really great hitter. And then things fell apart this past season, but he's going away from these maybe relatively bad hitter environments to a Colorado spot that really could uphold a lot of his value. He was 14 homers two prior years to this, 20 plus stolen base, both of those years, and a 265 average essentially is like the average between. Everything fell apart last year, 9 homers, 2 stolen bases, average absolutely tanked. The thing is though, when you look at like the underlying profile, same barrel, hard hit was down a little bit. Yeah. Launch angle about the same. XBA was down due to some of this stuff, but it wasn't like there was this big, he also lowered his strikeout rate. It wasn't like there's this big, massive, crazy difference that completely altered in the game of like who he was. He just hit off-speed stuff a lot worse. So I throw this out to say that if you're looking for, you know, just like a grab bag pick later in drafts, Thairo Estrada's got plenty of like theoretical 20 stolen base upside. And the home run potential hitting in Colorado is a little bit more exciting. That would be like the deep play outside or right around the top 30, I think, is someone that's worth looking at.
Yeah, and I think, you know, had Thyroid landed anywhere else, I don't think we'd really be talking about him because of the underlying stuff being bad. But landing in Colorado is a huge boost. So
opportunity. It's like opportunity. They're prospects. You know, Robert Kolas is a top prospect that he's not in. Also an outfield, Condon doesn't affect him. There is playing time potential out there for Estrada right now that makes it a little bit more exciting.
I think beyond 30, another guy that I like is Nick Gonzalez. Decent amount of runs. Hopefully he'll hit a little bit higher in that lineup for Pittsburgh, high average. So a guy that you could take late as, you know, a replacement MI, something like that, in a deeper league who could provide something, you know, but
is that who's on screen right there?
This is Thyroid. I think Nick Gonzalez should be just one back here. So doesn't do a ton, but you know, from his rookie season, brought his launch angle up, barrels per plate appearance are up, max EV was way up. So showed a little bit of improvement. If he can improve again, maybe that could be a little more power. And in Pittsburgh, there's all kinds of opportunity, just as you mentioned with Thyroid.
Yeah, I don't think this is a bad pick at all. This is a great deeper league play. He doubled his barrel rate year over year to almost 8%, which is very respectable. Launch angle's way up, so you're optimizing getting the ball in the air. You got that launch angle sweet spot. You know, get into the high 30s, you're starting to get in that Mookie range. Low K percentage, under 20%, and he had a 10 percentile jump in hard hit. His hard hit's still nothing to, like, get excited about, but it went from 26 up to 36, and zone contact rate, 76% the year prior, 82% this past year, 82.6 exactly. That's above league average. So good barrels, a good profile that he's lowered his strikeouts, because that was a massive problem. I actually think he's one of those, like, 50-team deep plays of Nick Gonzalez that I like. It's just guys like Estrada, Nick Gonzalez aren't 15-team roto, 12-team head-to-head really reliant, but I think they are right. Players that you would pay attention to in those formats because they're probably sitting on the wire.
Yeah, I think you're right about that for sure.
All right, let's go and take a look at our top 30 then, and then we'll bring up some more players on the board. Reminder, people watch on YouTube, but youtube.com/inthisleague. We'll do some clips, put up some of the ranks of some of these guys. If you want to watch maybe like just a second baseman ranks, we'll put it up there, shortstop, and there's a bunch of other videos you can check out. Let's look at our top 30. I'll start Bogman. At 30, I've got Nolan Gorman. 29 is Connor Norby. Colt Keith at 28. Willie Castro. Brandon Lau. Brendan Donovan. Jonathan India at 24. Cronenworth. Christian Campbell at 22. And Michael Garcia in his qualification. This is a Yahoo qualification at 21.
For me, I've got Matt Shaw at 30. Geloff at 29. Morel, Cronenworth, Castro, Christian Campbell, Brendan Donovan, Michael Garcia, Colt Keith, and Connor Norby at 21. Like we mentioned in the last episode, Welsh has convinced me I will absolutely move Matt Shaw up. So he won't be this low, but this is where I have him going in.
Real quick on, I actually want to talk about one of the guys that I have quite a bit higher than you here. Just want to bring up Christian Campbell here for a second. People are kind of torn. If you get outside the top 200, he's a pretty popular pick in drafts right now. Minor league player of the year. Hits both lefties and righties. There's power. There's great speed combination. He hit like 330, got up to AAA. And it looks like, you know, I've talked to multiple people that are very adamant that he is going to be given every opportunity to take this job. Even if they were to have signed Bregman, does not look like they're going to sign Bregman. They also wanted to make that commitment to Rafaela in the outfield. So that's not someone that would come, you know, barreling around in the infield. A guy like Vaughn Grissom could maybe make it weird or if they wanted to mess around with service time. But if they want to play that PPI game, which we've all talked a lot about, Christian Campbell is like a prime example of that. Just does a little bit of everything. The ballpark is really a positive effect for his offensive game. He's right now being priced in as most people not thinking he's going to break camp. If word comes out, it's going to go up. He's probably going to be going around ish Jason Dominguez and Dylan Cruz, maybe even higher. And that's in like inside the top.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Top 150. So there's a lot of value in there. I have him ranked relatively high because I just point out again, what's there to lose? What's there? You know, like, yeah. Sure, if he's your starter, that stinks and you did a bad job. But like, you should already have somebody. What's it to lose if you were to throw him in a middle spot and you pass up Jake Cronenworth for him? Or you get him as a prime bench spot. You should take him if he gets the opportunity to be in the majors because he, you know, I have some questions maybe long-term about like some of the...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
Like zone rates and stuff for Roman Anthony and like, could there be some strikeout stuff? Like, I really trust in Christian Campbell's ability to hit. And I don't know if it'll be impactful power, but he can also steal bases. I just really like that opportunity in the upside there. Again, minor league player of the year, big stats, 2020 guy. I just don't see the downside of taking that shot where he's going. But if he gets the call, then you're going to be in places where, like, you know, risk assessment will be into play. Like, we all are kind of burned from another guy we're going to talk about, Jackson Holliday, who went so freaking high.
Yeah.
But like right now, it's just built in. So that's why I'm
pretty high. I honestly think at this point in the offseason, that's probably why Christian Campbell is not higher, is because of what happened with Jackson Holliday last season. Let's say this, Welsh. The Red Sox come out tomorrow and say Christian Campbell's a starting second baseman. How high does he go?
Well, I just said, I think he's in the, like, Dylan Cruz, Jason Dominguez range. So that's somewhere between.
So that's the max. Even if they came out and said he is our starter, period, end of story. We don't care what he looks like in spring. That's our dude.
No, I'm not saying that's the max. I think he could go above those guys because he's in Boston. But I also think he would have probably the worst placement in a lineup than any of those guys as well that people to consider. There might be hype, a little too much hype around it, but I think he goes like right after those guys or right around those guys. So right now, NFBC, he's the 27th qualified second baseman with an average ADP of 340. But check this out. His high, 132. So just like I said, it's right around that general range. Someone assuming he is locked down for that. I think that's where he would push. Then there's some questions, but right now it's outside the top 300. It's a great cost. That's why I think he's justified here. A player that we can bring up. Let's bring this up here because this is someone that you have that I have higher, Boggs. We'll bring it up on the screen. Zach Geloff, who you mentioned, because Geloff is a total enigma right now. 2020 potential, not even just 2020 potential, but 2020 projection still this season. He only hit 211 last year. He did have 17 homers. He had 25 stolen bases. So those are, you know, doable, but he had some regression stuff. He lost the barrels that were super exciting. His XBA stunk. His hard hit rate dipped and 34% K percentage up from 27. So his batted ball, his ability to maintain a strike zone became absolute garbage. It was trash. He had a trash zone contact rate that got even worse, 73%. It's just so much worse than just overall league average. Though he did, you know, do a little bit better as far as, like, you know, chasing. It didn't get like out of hand or anything like that. Okay, so blah, blah, blah. Zach Geloff is still being projected with not a good batting average across the board at 2020. You now put him in a ballpark that's a tiny bit more favorable for hitters. Maybe over the summer becomes more favorable. And at the end of the day, the batted ball data, it's not, it regressed, but it's still better than some other spots. And we have known that this guy can be a 2020 guy. What do you make of it? Because you had him at like 30. I've got him, I think, in the next range. I got him at like 19 or 18 here, but you really buried him. And I could guess the reasons would be all of that horrible crap I just brought up.
I mean, he just sunk your batting average. 211 and the XBA of under 200 at 199 is just miserable. And he didn't hit lefties. He had weird splits too. 138 against lefties. That is pathetic.
Man, it
109 at bats.
That's one of those things where it's like, nah, dude, like you can't really be that. But guess what? I say that it is a right-handed hitter. He hit 167 in the previous year when it was like batting average was up and there was, you know, sky's the limit. He hit 267. He hit 167 against lefties. You don't usually see that was a right-handed hitter.
2 years ago, 138 last year, miserable and under 200 at home, 186 at home, 235 on the road. Brought his batting average up in the second half from 204 to 220. Still not good. So yes, he has a little bit of everything, but this is what we're talking about at second base, right? This is a ifs guy. If the batting average comes up, great value, outstanding value if you can get him. But if it sinks any lower, he's not in the bigs. So he is teetering very much right now. He really needs to get on it and bring this batting average back because everything else is there, right? So the better ballpark in Sacramento should help at least get him over 200 at home, but he's got to start hitting lefties if he wants to stay in the lineup and be an everyday player. So there's just, you know, you can go one way or the other. There's a lot of floor and there's a lot of ceiling for Geloff. I'm just not too interested because this is already a bad position and there's not going to be a lot on the wire. So anyone that's kind of teetering like that at this position, I'm just not going to be really into it.
Have you looked at his projections at all?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
I'm on the
I can pull
right
him up right
no,
now.
No, no, I have it. I don't want you to pull it up. I've said, are you familiar with it? You want to take a guess?
Yeah, give me 19 homers, 22 stolen bases, and a .229 batting average.
I mean, you sure you didn't look?
I did not look.
21 homers, 22 stolen bases. You nailed it. And a .223 batting average. So batting average sucks. He's still 20-20. Runs would be up at 72, 59 RBI. Craziest thing, it's not accounted to just offense, but 13th best WAR among all second basemen qualified. This is Derek Carty's the bat. So, you know, like higher, again, a WAR, higher than Bryson Stott, higher than Rengifo, Luis Garcia is in there. But the problem is that's, you know, there's different accounts for that. Gelof has some pretty crazy projections, but it's also projected at 32% K rate. So it's like, that's, so it makes him tough. It makes him tough. I do think he's a good speculative ad. The problem is he does sink your batting average. If you have a good batting average team, unless he's a bench bat, I'm not sure I like it. If you are a sunk batting average team, then I think I can get down with it. I do think he's worth speculation, though. But again, 12 team? 15 team, maybe. But then you're talking about Roto. Yeah. But again, you have him at, was it 30?
29.
I have him at 19. So we're quite a bit different on that. Just another guy to throw out. And then if you've got one other, Connor Norby is another deep play. The thing that gets me all worked up that, you know, we could have a big positive run here. 14.8% barrel rate last year. Absolutely love it. 47% launch angle sweet spot. So he is getting that perfect, perfect angle to get the ball in the air. And he had a 17 degree launch angle. Love it. Don't love is a .228 expected batting average, worse than he hit. A 33% K percentage is absolute garbage. I don't love that, but he did show off being able to hit breaking pitches and fastballs. He's in a kind of crappy lineup. I just think there's something there, at least to watch with Connor Norby, but he also just might be the next Zach Gelof for, I don't know, for better or for worse. He doesn't steal as many bases, but you know, he's got kind of like a similar zone contact rate. We got to see him have improvements, but he does barrel the ball a lot. And I get kind of excited about that. He has projected 16 homers, 10 stolen bases, and an improved .242 average with a 28% strikeout rate. So those are pretty big improvements across the board. Could be a nice cheap one. If I were dumpster diving, he's someone that I could give a look at.
And I have him fairly high in this section as well. And it's because of the spot in the order right now. He's hitting, you know, Xavier Edwards is your table setter for Miami. Like you said, not the best lineup, but then Norby at two, and Jesus Sanchez is an underrated guy. We'll talk about him in outfield tomorrow. I do like him, and he's a three hole hitter. So I like that spot in the lineup. A lot of opportunity there. And I think they're going to run these guys a bunch. They ran Jesus Sanchez, who had never stolen last year. So I think there's going to be a decent amount of stolen bases in his future as well. So I'm a big fan of Norby.
I think another interesting guy, and maybe you have him high. Yeah, you've got him in like the next range. Jonathan India, to see what happens with the Royals here. I mean, he was in a nice favorable spot. 15 homers, 13 stolen bases. He's hitting essentially between .240 for three straight seasons, but he had a higher expected batting average. He's not chasing. He's not striking out. He's walking a decent amount of the time. That, like, you know, there might be some serious RBI, or I'm sorry, some run opportunities. Maybe he can get closer back to 2020. This team definitely likes to run. I don't know. You know, maybe new scenery is something to get excited about. Also, highest zone contact percentage of his career, 87.6%. That's a really high rate. When you also go and look at a guy that had like a 7% barrel rate, we just love to see him hit the ball a little bit, a little bit harder, but dude gets the ball in the air, barrels the ball up, makes a lot of contact. He also walks. Jonathan India is probably like the end tier of like a middle, like a deeper, you know, like five outfielder, blah, blah, blah. Like Jonathan India could be someone I think I could stomach drafting.
Absolutely. I mean, I actually kind of like him, and projected a hit at the top of the lineup ahead of Witt, Pasquantino, Salvi. I think that's a really good spot to be in. Top 3% walk percentage last season as well. I almost said percentage again for another whatever reason. But yeah, man, I'm in on India for sure. I got him in the next tier.
Juicy. Where is he? Where's the roster resource projecting him in the lineup? Because like, is it lead off? Yeah, see, that's him. That's the, well, because sometimes they would throw like Michael Garcia in there and stuff.
That's what I was just saying. Ahead of Witt, Pasquantino, and
Salvi. Oh, I didn't even hear you say that. Yeah, I mean, the opportunity right there kind of speaks for itself. So India, let me see where India is too, because maybe he's 23rd at second base here in NFBC since January 1st, 250 on the average pick. And you have him at 20, so you're a little bit higher. I'm at 24. So we're kind of like, you know, I'm in the territory. You're a little bit higher. You might be a little bit more on it. Maybe something to pay attention to. Anybody else in this range you want to cover?
Nah, I think we can move up.
All right. 20 to 11. Let's hear yours.
I got Jonathan India at 20, as we just talked about. Jackson Holliday at 19. Brendan Lau at 18. Nico at 17. Rafaela at 16, if he qualifies. Labor at 15. Stott at 14. Then Arise, Rengifo, and Andrés Giménez.
All right. At 20, I've got Luis Arise. I'm going to kind of admit, it's probably a little bit more of the head-to-head coming out of me. People do also always
the hate.
Yeah, well, people, there is a difference between head-to-head and roto. I don't want to pretend like there's not. I do think categories just kind of translate over a little bit more. But, you know, from a strategy standpoint, if I'm in roto, maybe I give a little bit more of a boost.
Well, saw him hit on 14 one time, hates his guts now.
So. Luis Arise, 100%. 100%. Probably splits tens. When there's a six showing as well. But Luis Arise, like, you know, I don't need to do the thing I always do. 20, I got Zach Eloff at 19. I got Holliday at 18. Luis Rengifo at 17. Matt Shaw, Gleyber Torres, Sadana Rafaela at 14. Bryson Stott, Andrés Giménez, and new shortstop for the San Diego Padres, Xander Bogaerts, who still qualifies at second base. So I'll let you pick first here. Who's somebody you want to hit, and we'll bring them up on the screen.
Let's talk about Brendan Lau. Look, I think I'm just going to do it again. I feel like I swear off of Brendan Lau every single season, but I just like the pop. And, you know, I don't like a lot of what's at second base. And if we can get some pop in this, you know, I'm not as excited about him as I am Caminero, obviously. But 244, 21 homers. If you're lagging in power and you can get Brendan Lau this late, yeah, and that's 21 bombs last year and only 107 games. There's just a lot of thump there, and that's three categories with all of that power. So another guy I'm excited about.
You know, that to be fair, the hitting profile does deserve a boost. This actually might be one I need to correct. The thing that holds me back is three straight years he has not had 400 at bats. He does not get a significant amount of bats, but he has had 21 homers for two straight seasons while not having 400 at bats. That kind of speaks for itself. He had a better expected batting average than he actually hit. He had the best barrel rate he's had over the last 3 years. Hard hit was 44%, which was pretty nice. A little bit of a downtick in K percentage. Yeah, I guess the more that I look at this, there's some stuff I like. He actually even underperformed against fastballs. He hit right about at level on breaking pitches, really destroyed on fastballs as well. And I guess there's a platoon issue that also goes on with him, but he hit 265 against lefties in a very short amount of time, 240 against righties.
314 feet to right field.
I think that's going to be one I'm going to eat my words on a little bit. I think I'm going to make a move. I'm going to make a move in my ranks right now. That is a little bit more exciting. You know what I guess I'm struggling with? Like Lau versus India. That looks like there might be higher like physical counting, like power stats, but I think India might be able to score more runs as well as like...
The runs are harder to come by. So yeah, I don't hate India being ahead, but I don't know. India's missed games as well. So, and Look, this is why I don't have him in my top 15 still, is because he has missed a bunch of games. But this is one of the guys that you look at second base, this makes me feel
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
A little bit better about it. There's guys that are hitting leadoff like Jonathan India, and there's guys with a bunch of power playing in this tiny ballpark now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Me.
And Brandon Lau. So, yeah, I think this middle is, I feel a little bit better about than I initially did going in.
You do have him at 19. The guys I'm bringing up is, I don't know if you want to bring up this awful, I don't have it on screen. I'll bring it up if you want to type him in. But Jackson Holliday. Let's talk about him for a second, because we might be being a little bit favorable on Jackson Holliday. He's ranked 18th among second basemen on NFBC. I've got him at 18. You've got him at 19. Abysmal bad year. Buddy hit the ball really hard. 8% barrel rate, even in all that garbage that he ended up having. 45% hard hit rate. But he struck out a bunch. Didn't get the ball in the air enough. And, you know, just the mechanics of his profile led to like a really bad expected batting average because he couldn't hit any breaking pitches. Breaking pitches absolutely murdered him. So, you know, like horizontal stuff, sliders, he was not able to pick that up. And he also just was piss poor against fastballs. But I'll throw this out. Even in all that, he had a better zone contact percentage than Zach Geloff or who the hell was did I talk about earlier that had the zone contact rate, whoever the hell that was.
I thought it was Geloff, was it not?
Well, Geloff was one of them. India and Geloff. India had a really, really high. Now I need to go look. who the hell was it? Was it Connor Norby? Maybe it was Norby. Norby and Geloff. Jackson Holliday had a better zone contact rate, also hits the ball harder, at least than Geloff was. I think it's right around where Norby was. And if you do have improvements, the hard hit rate and barrel rates, like I don't be shocked if he has a complete turnaround. Projections. Let's play that game. We're looking at the bat for this one. Usually not favorable to young guys here. What do you think Jackson Holliday's projections look like? I'm going to give you a hint. They project him only at 126 games. Under 500 plate appearances. So just keep that in mind.
230, 15, and 14.
Close-ish. 239, not great, but an improvement. 12 homers, 8 stolen bases. 25% K percentage. That is a massive. So let's not focus on the categorical stuff for a second, because I will say this. If he hits closer to 240 and the strikeout rate's under 30%, he's made some good batted ball improvements. I think you will see bigger numbers.
I mean, just remember, he hit 059 in his first, you know, cup of coffee or whatever, 34 games, 059 with no homers. He hit 5 in the second half. He only hit 218 in the second half still. And he stole all of his bases, but he was at least there was at least an improvement.
It pissed sucked. It sucked. It major. There's nothing. There's barely anything redeeming about the pro debut outside of what I'm telling you is, like, he did barrel. He did hit the ball hard. And, you know, we've seen the track record in the minor league. So if he takes those adjustments into the new year, what I'm saying is you look at the categorical stuff. If the batting average has improved and the strikeouts improved to that level, there's a real opportunity that he's going to beat the expectations on both of these. I think the floor, based on some of that hitting profile, is closer to 15-15. I think he's going to run a little bit more than people think. I do think there's a shot that we are going to get closer to that 20-20, maybe 15-20 type of guy this season. Also, again, the parameters of the right-handed side of the field is going to get a little bit better. This is a guy that's going to put up bigger hard hit numbers than most and barrel. So if he improves, the ballpark works well, he can move up a little bit in the lineup. Kind of like Jackson Holliday, but it's a risk. It's an inherent risk in you know, picking your shots. I mean, second, if I really screwed up, I guess you have to look at, like, what would be your strategy here? If you really screwed up and you didn't get any of those top guys, and then, you know, you go and get like a Nico Horner or a Bryce Turang, it's like, oh, I got all these stolen bases and this guy doesn't do a lot of other stuff. I do think Jackson Holliday has a potential to be a 5-category player still to this year, that I think pairing maybe him for the upside with one of those guys where you're just kind of like, okay, this is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
I think that's where the excitement can be, and that's where it's placed in. Or, you know, again, maybe you got one of the top guys and then all of a sudden there's just no shortstop. There's no Jeremy Pena's. There's nothing like that. Putting him in at middle infield, especially if you didn't take other risks, I think is worth it. I will probably have some type of investment because I believe he will bounce back
his this year. His NFBC ADP Welsh is 225. What is that going to be a week before the season?
Yeah, January 1st, it's 220 on. I don't know if it's going to move too much. If he has a good spring.
That's what I'm saying.
People are going to do the thing. I bet.
How high up? Maybe 150?
150. I'd say 150. All of a sudden, he's hitting 370 in spring. He's not freaking out. If he has
a good season, this is the lowest you'll ever see Jackson Holliday by 100 picks. So, so there is so much value potentially here. We'll see. You know what I mean? It's going to take a lot to bounce back from how bad it looked last year.
100%. Who's a guy you want to pick at here in this range? There's a couple. We've talked Geloff, or we had already talked about Geloff, Jackson Holliday. Any other names? I think there's a couple in here, but who's someone you want to target?
I'm not too excited about the other guys in this range. I don't want to be picking out of here. I'll say that. Like, I have Jimenez, Arise, Stott, Torres. Is there anybody in that group that you really like, Welsh?
No, like, okay, so Jimenez, I took Jimenez in the mock draft we were doing on Fantasy Pros. I needed a little bit of stolen base boost. He can hit for some average. We'll see where the homers are. I think, you know, he's got an opportunity in Toronto to maybe hit a little bit higher in lineups. And yeah, he got some interesting, I mean, he's had run support in Cleveland. 15-30. 10-25, like somewhere in that general range of the good batting average. I think there's a spot for him, and he super fell in drafts. So him, no. Stott, also not really. Stott doesn't like do a whole, they're all kind of the same player. That's the weird thing about a lot of these guys. It's like Stott and Jimenez.
I just don't think there's good value here. Like, I do think that this is where they need to be ranked, but I don't want to be picking out of this group. I think I would rather wait and take a risk on a Holiday or India or a Lau than pick out of this group, unless, like you mentioned, there's something specific I need, like stolen bases with Jimenez.
So the only thing that I'd push back is maybe, like, you know, if Bryce Trang has an NFBC since January 1st of like 136, and then Jimenez is 175. Trang steals more bases.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
To betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
But I got Drang Feld in our mock today, and I got him right around pick, like, I think 150 or 160, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, Trang does have the batting average, and he has a stolen bases, which is fun. And Jimenez maybe gets you, like, a little bit more across the board, but it's not much. You know, I mean, right. I guess to be, now that I'm thinking about it, Trang could take three categories from Jimenez. He's not going to take power, but I guess my point is, like, if Jimenez has that close, he's within 10 stolen bases, he's within five runs, you know, he's in that general vicinity, the batting average is probably the key. Is it really worth like a 40 pick premium on Bryce Trang? Maybe, because you know what you're getting, but you know, Jimenez is someone to look at. I guess I would agree with you. I'm not stouty a bunch, a lot of these guys.
Right.
Xander Bogaerts would, you know, maybe one, we could just talk about him. I know you have him at 10. I've got him at 11 here. They said he is moving back to shortstop, which he wants, you know, like my two favorite interactions with players over the last 18 months have been, Strand, how's outfield going? Not good. And Xander Bogaerts, hey man, how do you like second base?
I don't.
Not my favorite. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly. I don't. It was only me and him and like one other person that were around. So he was comfortable saying that he was not happy about that transition. I'm not sure that you could chalk that up as like, this is why you were stinky and stuff like that. But, you know, it was a big, I think, mental change for what he was doing. You lost some barrel percentage. You lost your overall hard hit. But expected batting average is better this past year than the previous 2 years. You know, so, I mean, he had overperformed to a pretty high degree. This year, it kind of came and tumbled back down. But he doesn't strike out, which is great. He's going to score runs. Maybe he can get back to that 2020. Let's take a look. I actually haven't even looked. What do you think the projections are right now?
For Bogaerts?
600 plate appearances, 145 games. That's the number.
I would say 260, 259, 260, 15 homers and 10 stolen bases.
Well, I mean, you underdid every single one of them, if that was your expectation. Okay. 270 batting average projection, which looking at the top 10, at least WAR, looking on FanGraphs.
270, I mean, his XBA hasn't been that high since 2020.
But he had hit over 270 two of the last three seasons. So I think that's going into projections. But Bogaerts is the second highest batting average of the top 10 WAR second baseman. His homers more, 16, than what you said. And stolen bases more at 14. 75 runs, 69 RBIs. It's nothing to write home about. It's not Ketel Marte or anything like that. But
high floor.
There's a floor. And also his ADP is around 150 in drafts right now. So it's like, could he get to 2020? It's a possibility in there. There's a lot of run opportunity in there. Good batting average. I think it's doable. I actually think Xander Bogaerts, when I'm starting to like piece this together, I've already talked about Matt Shaw. I love Matt Shaw. Like Ringifo and Bogaerts are probably my safest. And if I'm chasing stolen bases, then I'm staring at, you know, like Stott and Jimenez. I also really do like Sadani Rafaela. I think he's another 2020 potential guy. So,
But Rengifo is my guy, but good God, does this guy get hurt? He gets hurt a lot, and it's little things a lot. So he is a little bit annoying.
Let's talk about the top 10 in second base, at least for our ranks. I'll give you guys mine. At 10, I've got Bryce Terang, Nico Horner at 9. Those two, like one in the same. I guess what I was saying before, too, Terang, Nico Horner, to a smaller degree, Stott and Jimenez are all kind of like the same player. Average goes to Terang and Horner, which I moved them up. Luis Garcia, I've got at 8. Matt McClain at 7. Jordan Westberg at 6. Top 5 is Marcus Semien, Altuve, Albies, Ketel Marte, and technicality, Mookie. How many games did Mookie Betts play at second base this past year? Do you remember?
I'm not sure. I can look it up, though.
But he is the technical top second baseman.
Yeah, and, you know, if he qualifies, of course he's number one. It's not.
Otherwise, it's Ketel Marte.
Right. He played 18, so right on the line.
Yeah, so Yahoo, he qualifies, yeah, and he's just, like, right there. You know, he's going to play shortstop the whole time. But he qualifies on Yahoo, so we're talking about him, but we're not going to talk about him in this episode. But he is the guy defaulting to Ketel Marte, though, for anybody else.
For me, I've got Bogaerts at 10, Terang at 9, McClain at 8, Luis Garcia at 7, then Westberg at 6, Semien, Albies, Altuve, and Marte at 2, and then obviously Mookie at number 1.
So there's a couple guys we've already talked about. I've already talked about Jordan Westberg. He qualifies at 2nd. Good third baseman bet. He's probably going to be one of my number one targets in this range. Two players, let's talk on complete different contrasts. Let's start with Matt McClain, if you want to get him up on the board. Yeah. And then I think like a complete contrast to him is kind of like Luis Garcia.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.